This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out on Old Dan once again at this time, bringing you another message from God's Word. And we're looking at a study on the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's quite an interesting study. Many folks shy away from this book of the Bible because they say they don't understand it. Well, I don't understand all of it either. But I'm just asking the Lord to give us grace to bring it slowly. And may something go home to your heart and to mine. I believe it'll be timely in our lives. And all of these messages will be on cassette or CD if you'd like to have them. You write me and I'll give you that information, what the cost is. It's very inexpensive. But we have many, many studies left. We're just getting started. I've done a dozen or so. But we're looking now there in the 15th verse of the second chapter of Revelation, speaking, the Lord speaking to the church there at Pergamos. He says in the 16th verse, in our last study we saw where he said, I have something against you, speaking about the church there. And now in the 15th verse he says, you hold to another doctrine that I hate, and that is the teaching of the Nicolaitans. In our message on the letter to the church in Ephesus, we told you that the word Nicolaitan came from two words, Niko, to conquer, and Laos, to people, which means rulers of the laity. This indicated that there were folks within the church who taught that there ought to be formed a priestly organization in the church to correspond to the priests and Levites in Jerusalem. In Judaism, who would have charge of ruling and directing the program of the church instead of a body of born-again believers looking directly to Christ and in Him alone as the head of the church and for their leadership. Christ said here, I hate that teaching. Oh, my friend, how about today? The teaching today where the clergy, as they call themselves, are separated from the people and the average church member in some of our denominations hold the clergy in such high regard that they, and my friend, there's no such a thing as that. That's the doctrine of the Nicolaitan. And the reason was, listen now, the reason that the Lord hated it, he said, I hate that teaching. And the reason for it was that he knew that in a short time that he, the head of the church, would be set aside for a man-made program directed by a set of men in the church or out of the church. Now, we have just seen much of that in our last few days. Oh, listen, my friend. The primitive churches or the early New Testament churches were groups or assemblies, just a group or an assembly of born-again believers under the leadership of the Holy Spirit with Christ as their head. They met to worship. It was constant praise on the part of the assembly to the Son of God for redeeming them with His own precious blood. Christ never intended for those bodies of born-again believers to be dominated by religious individuals in any shape, form, or fashion, in the priesthood being separated. No. Where will you go today to find assemblies where there is going up a constant praise and thanksgiving on the part of her members, listen, and for redemption in Christ? Where would you go? Where would you go to find today an old-fashioned prayer meeting like we had in yesteryear? No, you won't find it. Everything is so programmed and organized. I often get a little sarcastic, maybe. Some folks tell me I do. But I know the average Protestant church that I know of, everything is set down in order. They print out a program a week or two ahead of time. They name so many songs. Brother so-and-so is going to lead us in this song. And then they have the offertory. And then they have the introduction by one of the leaders. And he talks about who's the oldest people there and who's got on the biggest hat and who gave out the most food. I'm telling you, my friend, it's all programmed. It's organized to death. It's organized to death. We don't do that here. No. Here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers, we're just a bunch of old sinners. The Lord has saved some. Some have been convicted under the power of the Holy Spirit. They come here wanting to hear the gospel. And then we have praise and prayer time. Folks stand up and say, "Pastor, I praise the Lord for saving an old sinner like me." And he goes on to tell maybe a little bit of how the Lord delivered him. And then we have others stand up and say, "Pastor, I'm a lost sinner. I want to be prayed for." And we have those things. They have freedom. It's not cold and orthodox and everybody's looking at everybody who's got on the biggest hat and the finest clothes. We don't have that. That's what he's talking about here. The doctrine of the Nicolaitan, and then in many of our denominations, the pastors and the bishops and the archbishops and the archbishop are all set aside, and you couldn't speak to one of them if you met them on the big road because they're so high and mighty. And that's what the Lord says. He says, "I hate that. I hate that." And the reason for it is that he knew that Christ would be set aside. Now, they met to worship the early church and praise the Lord. Christ never intended for those bodies of born-again believers to be dominated by a religious group. No. And where would you go today? I was asking that question a moment ago. Where would you go today to find an assembly where there's going up a constant praise and thanksgiving on the part of the membership? But listen, for salvation by blood, praising the Lord, looking forward to His imminent coming, where is the simplicity of Christ as spoken of by the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church there at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 1:12? Now, let me say further. My friend, Christ hates anything and everything that comes between Him and His church or His child. He is jealous over us with a godly jealousy, and He must be Lord of all or not Lord at all. Christ is the all-sufficient one, and we need none other. We are complete in Him. I wish you'd let that soak home. Let it just soak in, my friend. Now, let's look. He follows these statements of condemnation with a call to repentance. Now, my friend, there's a strange word in the average church, isn't it? Repentance is a lost doctrine. It's a missing doctrine in our present-day preaching, my friend. It's been relegated to the back heap, scrap heap. No more will you find repentance being preached than a man in the moon. Folks, our younger generation coming up have no knowledge. I don't know what they do with John the Baptist's testimony where he said, "Repent, repent." And then in Luke 13, we read where the Lord Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." What do folks do with those verses, though? They just ignore them. But he says here, he follows these statements. He says he holds this church responsible for false doctrines among her members. And he's going to hold you responsible, Pastor. Preacher, he's going to hold you responsible. He calls the church here at Smyrna to repent. He says, if not, now listen. Listen, Pastor. Listen, Professor. He says, if not, if you don't repent, I will come quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Christ will not tolerate error, sin, or false doctrine in His church anywhere. And that's right. That's right. He won't put up with it. He won't tolerate it. In the 17th verse there is the call to the hearer. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Here is a message to the overcoming one, the born-again one, the one who is washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, having been delivered from the power of Satan by the Holy Spirit. He said, I give to eat of them hidden manna. Oh, isn't that a gracious thought? The hidden manna means Christ Himself. That's a gracious title. You ever look up the title? Someone has said there's over 200 titles of our blessed Lord. But here's one at this time. Let me ask you this question, my friend. Do you know what it is or what it means to take your Bible and sit down and have the Holy Spirit to unfold the meanings of some of the portions of God's Word which reveal to your heart the Christ who died on Calvary? Are we just living so fast that we go through this world without ever having thought or thinking about where we're going to spend eternity? Did you know the Lord put us here for a purpose? His purpose was to glorify Christ. Are you doing that, my friend? Or are you just living like hell? I asked you, my friend, are you born again? Has the Lord saved you? Or can you look up at night when you lay down? I ask folks this all the time. Lay down there tonight on your pillow. Maybe a good soft bed. Or maybe just a bench in a park somewhere. And look up. Look up at the stars, maybe. And say, thank you, Lord, for saving this old hell-deserving sinner. Now, I know that's a strange thing. Folks don't say that. Not many folks will admit that they're a sinner. I have folks get angry with me because I call them, they say I call them sinners. No, I don't call them sinners. I just read God's Word. He says there's none righteous. No, not one. And then folks take that I'm calling them a sinner. And they call me and they write me and call me old crackpot and those things. But listen, I asked you, do you know what it means? Do you have that blessing, my friend, of just thanking the Lord? Do you know what it means for the Holy Spirit to prepare some portion of Christ and reveal Him to your heart as your bread, as your water of life, as your very life? I do. And how wonderful it is. He is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our way. He says, I'll give you a white stone with a new name written, a stone of acceptance, a stone of favor, a stone of friendship. It's a marvelous thing to be accepted in the Beloved, according to Ephesians 1:6. It's a gracious thing to be favored, the favored Son of God abiding there in His presence. It's a gracious thing indeed to be a friend of God. Christ said on one occasion, I call you not servants, but friends. John 15. A friend knoweth what his Lord doeth and is permitted to walk with him. I wish I knew how to exalt the Lord above every name. Oh, I wish I knew how to picture and glorify the crucified, buried, and risen Christ until every listener would be constrained to fall at his feet and cry, my Lord and my God. Oh, listen, and would not love the world or the things of the world. I see so much of it. I see my folks, my grandchildren, running after the world like a hog running after slop. All of those things are only temporal, my friend. They're only temporary. They won't last long. They'll fade like the flower, pass away like the dew in the early morning. But folks, run after them. Run after them because they're led by Satan. But listen now. Would you think with me just a moment? Would you think with me? It would be a great thing to see our folks looking for the coming, soon coming of our Lord. Did you know the Lord's soon coming? Soon coming again. And we recently brought a study on the soon coming of the Lord. All those messages are on tapes and on CDs. And we may air them again one of these days for folks that didn't hear them. But we're looking there at the church of Pergamos. And we're going to look in our next study at the church at Thyatira. Oh, I hope you'll get your Bible and read there. At the church in Thyatira, it was called the Lax Church. Oh, that's the church of today, isn't it? Lax. Lax in everything. Preacher plays golf on Sunday evening with his little short shorts on. The women have their tea parties and their little parties in the recreation room. And the preaching goes undone. We're so lax. We have volleyball courts in our recreation halls and all of those things, my friend. But the gospel has been done away with. There's no more, hardly any more, true old-time preaching like there was once, my friend. Folks say, what's wrong with the world? It's just preaching, my friend. It's given way to worldliness. Worldliness. Mine. Get all I can and sit on the can. That's what the spirit we have today. Only one here and one there, praising the Lord. And I wish you'd think with me. I know the old trailblazer don't make much sense many times, but would you pray for me? The Lord has given us this vast audience to speak to. Remember, my mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. Goodbye and God bless you.